The Coin Week podcast is brought to you by PCGS. Visit PCGS.com to take advantage of this quarter's grading specials. So I know it's been a while since we've recorded an episode of the Coin Week podcast. This time, I'd like to talk directly in an unscripted way about some recent research that I've been doing. In going through our archives and looking at some of the work we did on the American Silver Eagle series, I decided that it would be a good time, 8 years later, to refresh our data and to see what has changed in this market. Before I tell the story, I'll go back in time. It was late 2013 that CoinWeek decided that we wanted to put together a price guide for the Silver Eagle series, and we wanted to look at it in a slightly different way than anything that had been published before. We set out to look at Silver Eagle populations, the distribution between NGC and PCGS as it pertained to coins in the marketplace, and to see what differences in approach these two firms had and how that impacted the market. Before that, I'll take another quick detour and say that before we really got to dig our teeth into this project for Coin Week, I was asked by a publisher to work on a revision of a popular mass market Silver Eagle price guide. For that project, I contributed a few coin narratives, filled some white space on some older ones, and used their pricing methodology to refresh the numbers on the material I was tasked to work on. When it came to the Coin Week project, however, I had different ideas. I do not see coins as being worth one particular price, but I look at a range of prices which would be reasonable to pay for a coin in a particular grade. A normal run-of-the-mill coin may be worth less than a very attractive, idiosyncratic example in the same grade. Take a 19th century coin, one that's sort of original, uncirculated, but not attractive, versus one that is booming with luster, perhaps toned in a very exotic way, and fully struck. The two coins may technically be in the same grade, but they would have divergently different values if offered at the same time. For the Silver Eagles, it's interesting because unless you're talking about some coins that have toned over time, they really aren't that different. You're looking at typically a blast white coin with a similar strike characteristic. The mint never really let the dies go so long that Silver Eagles looked worn out or with die cuts or cracks. They more or less looked like a uniform issue. And so the range that would be paid for this coin isn't so much a range based on the quality of the coin, but more a range based on what people are willing to pay. And when you look at the Silver Eagle series as a whole, I can't imbue any particular level of knowledge or skill when it comes to the people buying the coins. Someone may pay $29 for an uncirculated Mint State 69 example, and 5 minutes later, someone may instantly buy one for $55. So what we tried to do is look at hundreds and hundreds of records and to see what the interquartile range told us about the value of each particular issue. And so the prices that we determined may have been a range of $5 or $10 for an MS69. A $40 to $46 range would be pretty normal. When it came to a 70, for a coin that was selling for $1,000 or $1,500, maybe that range would be a few hundred dollars. And again, it would be totally reasonable for somebody to pay $1,000 for a coin and for somebody else to pay $1,300 for the same coin. In a lot of respects, it comes down to the time value of money, how much time a collector wants to spend looking for something, and it also comes down to just the presentation of the coin on the part of the seller. Since for the most part, Silver Eagles are traded in certified grades on platforms like eBay, one seller may take a cell phone photo, a blurry, out of focus, poorly lit, for a valuable coin, where another a professional seller may take a beautiful macro lens shot of the same piece and get widely different prices. With Silver Eagles also, you have the niddling issue of milk spots. And I think the milk spot issue, although maybe not so much in the news anymore, played an enormous role in deciding what the populations for 70 coins would be for coins struck in the late 80s to the early 90s, especially, I feel, for PCGS. While both companies were trying to compete vigorously in the Silver Eagle market, PCGS held back, not for the more recent issues, but definitely for the issues in the first 10 years of the Silver Eagle series. And we found that quite interesting because the grading standard PCGS and NGC employ may be somewhat different, and we suspect that they are, but one company was dominating in the amount of Silver Eagles that were in their holders, and that was NGC. Partly, I believe, because they had a deep relationship with several telemarketing companies and internet marketing companies, such as GovMint, Modern Coin Mart, and others. And partly because I believe the impact of being able to sell a 70 set of all dates really gave them an advantage. So why would PCGS hurt their business by not giving out 70 coins? It was something I really couldn't get a clear answer to, and I didn't fully understand it. But one of the things that we did in our research is we went through every major auction offering of an MS70 coin from one of these dates where PCGS seldom gave the grade. And we found some very interesting information. For one thing, several of the dates, which had very low mintages, we saw sequential cert numbers for the Silver Eagles in the 70 grade. And so that told us that at least for an instance or two, there could have been a particularly nice monster box, or a submitter had pulled together some really nice coins and PCGS was willing to offer that 70 grade despite their reluctance to give it for others. Or it could have pointed to the fact that the risk of putting coins in those 70 holders with that milk spot issue was so great that PCGS really didn't want to bother with it. So in 2022, here we are in October, we started looking into the Silver Eagle market and to look at the populations. It's been 8 years since we did our in-depth analysis. And the thing we discovered across the board is that the Silver Eagle market has changed dramatically. Those rare date, pop 2, pop 3, pop 0, MS70 PCGS dates are no longer the case. The company is grading MS70 coins more or less on par with what NGC is doing. So there's definitely been a shift there. As such, the prices that might have been realized for a pop 1, 2, or 3 coin, in some cases $20,000 or more, those prices have precipitously declined, as you would expect if there are now over 1,000 coins in that grade. The MS69 grades seem to have either gone up or held firm over the last 8 years. The 1986 date in particular has had interest from collectors after a 2020 revelation that all of the coins struck in 86 and 87 in the uncirculated finish were actually struck at the San Francisco Mint. The grading services have been offering parenthetical holders for unmint marked coins that through the Freedom of Information Act have been determined to have been struck at other mints. Some bullion strikes were struck at West Point. Others were struck at San Francisco without the mint mark. As you can see, it took specialized knowledge of the packaging of the Silver Eagles for the grading companies to be able to certify those origins. Well, now it appears that every Silver Eagle struck in 1986 and 87 and that mint state finish were from San Francisco, so we see an increased interest in those coins. And some collectors, perhaps not savvy to the fact that every single coin was struck there, seem to have a willingness to pay more for coins and holders that say struck at the San Francisco Mint. Be that as it may, there are other things that are quite interesting. When we published our original report, we reviewed the different types of labels that were used to individuate the Silver Eagle product from one seller to another. We categorized them in different levels. There was the basic label. This would be you know, the same label you'd get on any coin from a service. We had the what we called novelty labels. These would be specific custom-made labels for different vendors. One might say, you know, the Windy City Horde. Another might be the Monster Box Horde. Another one might be First Year of Issue. Another one might be, you know, an American flag. You know, you understand if you've looked at the modern coin business that these labels are ubiquitous. And then the third tier, we call these the premium labels. And these might be the hand-signed labels. Both PCGS and NGC have the Mercanti label or the Ed Moy label. PCGS has gone into different directions with some of their signers, so has NGC. And then you also have these limited edition labels, these sets that may have been put together of one of 300 or one of seven or whatever it is. Different ways to market the coins. And so we've looked at some of those labels as well. And we wanted to keep visual database of this. So when we were updating for our 1986 Silver Eagle profile, we went back and looked at, tried to find as many new labels as we could. And it's interesting because over time, the graphic design of these labels evolves, in some cases gets better. And it's just interesting to see all the different ways one of these Silver Eagle products might appear in a holder on the market. I've long believed that what the grading services do or what a dealer or an auction house does adds to the history of the hobby. And so in that respect, I think all of this stuff is numismatic. If you had a 1986 Silver Eagle in a Regency holder or a Rattler or an original doily holder, that would be an interesting coin, even though, you know, you're looking at the entire package and not just the coin itself, because the coin's the same as a coin that's raw or in another holder. But it's just the nature of where it's been and the time and place where it came into contact with the grading service that I think adds to the story. You know, I also think it might be interesting, you know, for somebody, not me, but to collect the series with different labels. Certainly some of the labels are more scarce than others, and it'd definitely be a conversation starter to say, oh, you know, this is a really rare sample label, or this is a really interesting this is a really interesting novelty label that was only available for a short time from this company that went out of business. So the Silver Eagle market, just based on the dates and the populations and the labels, is interesting. And then there are the overcomplications. And these are things that are probably going to come up when I get further down through the series. Because when I did my work in 2014, by the time we got to the end of the series, there were so many like side streets with the Silver Eagle series that I felt the series was becoming almost ungovernable and overcomplicated. And I'm afraid that that has just probably become even worse in recent years. I look back to the Mint's Privy Marked 75th anniversary coin and how they created this ultra low mintage and really just alienated 99.9% of the collector base with a product that practically nobody could own, that sold out immediately and was selling for thousands or tens of thousands of dollars like a day or two after release. And then you look at other things like special finishes, like the 2019 enhanced reverse proof finish or enhanced and circulated finish. I can't remember at this point what it was. And you just look at all the myriad ways where the Mint working around their limitations of being able to create their own marketing plan for numismatic coins, making variations and iterations on the same thing over and over again. And so probably by the time you get to 2020, 2021, 2022, the series has become so complicated, so melodramatic that I can't think that it helps the collector who started in 1986 to keep up with it. I mean, you have the emergency issues during COVID, and it goes on and on and on. It's just exhausting. But as frustrating as all that is, something that I think we have to keep in mind is that numismatics is happening in real time. It's happening in front of us. We are experiencing it. We are a part of that story. And the collectors today who are buying numismatically interesting Silver Eagles and different packages are leaving a legacy for the next generation and the next generation after that. You know, when the Redfield Horde came to market, what made them different was the holder that they were put in. And otherwise, it was just a Morgan dollar that anybody could have purchased at any point in time. But the fact that it was attached to something and it was packaged in such a novel way gave it a life of its own. And then even today, who doesn't smile when they see a nice coin in an original Redfield holder? The same could be said about silver dollars in the GSA holders. You know, when the grading services first started to really penetrate the market, tens of thousands of GSA holders were cracked open so that these coins could be encapsulated. Well, now we look at the holders as having their own inherent value. And so we'll grade the coin in the original holder. So what the future holds for the Silver Eagle series, I do not know. It's a fun series to collect and maybe the most essential series in numismatics today. I don't think that they're investment grade coins, and I think some of the research that we'll publish will bear that out. You know, for the 1986 issue, for instance, you're looking at a 3 or 4% rate of return for the last 8 years. That's not a great rate of return, but if you're collecting coins for fun, it really doesn't matter. Likewise, if you purchased a 1986 MS-70 for $20,000, you're probably not going to be too happy to find out that you'll be lucky to get $700 for it today. But at some point in time, buying an MS-70 1986 Silver Eagle will be a no-brainer move. The question is when, and will you, as a savvy collector, recognize that time when it comes? Meanwhile, let's embrace the reality that the Type 1 American Silver Eagle went into the history books as one of the most successful coin programs in U.S. history, and that the Type 2 Silver Eagle now has big shoes to fill as we move forward. Do you collect American Silver Eagles? Well, if you do, I'd like to hear your thoughts in the comments. Why do you like this series, and are there things about it that you wish could be done better or differently? Do you find the current state of the American Silver Eagle market to be overly confusing? Or is this the Goldilocks series, and everything's just right? I'd love to hear your thoughts. For Coin Week, I'm editor Charles Morgan. Until next time, happy collecting.